Okay, welcome everyone to this week's Naked Football. In the studio tonight, joining my present host, Mr. David James, our erstwhile host, Mr. Jeremy Lieben.
Evening.
Now, I like Jeremy, he was a good host, and I also like my present host. But which is best?
I can see where this is going.
There's only one way to find
Harry Hill.
Absolutely. Right, studio at icrfm.co.uk if you want to email in about anything whatsoever. During the week, if it's town, no. During the week, nakedfooty@yahoo.co.uk. And that could be for anything at all that you want on the show. And if you want to come on the show, indeed, that's the web address for you. Which way do you want to go with this one? Do you want to do Portsmouth first and then go to the ticket debacle?
Yeah, let's start off positive.
Right,
yes.
Go for it, guys.
Yeah.
Unexpected, but fantastic result.
Yeah.
Not an easy place to go to, although our record suggests it is.
Yeah, because I didn't realise until I read today that we haven't... Is it 15, the last 15 visits to Fratton Park? We've got 8 wins and 7 draws.
Something ridiculous.
1966 is the last time we lost, which is quite remarkable.
That's it.
I don't think we've got that sort of record at any other away ground in the country, probably, to be honest.
And people are they're going through a lot of trouble at the moment. Great, get them then. That's the worst time to get them normally.
Yeah.
Because the unit, the team, the... rallying around each other, the fans rallying around the players on the pitch, everybody kind of in together, that kind of siege mentality. But we rode it out, and to all intents and purposes, it was a 1-0 thrashing. Yeah.
Yes, and we've had a few of those, but they've usually ended up in tears.
Like
we were well on top of Birmingham and
2-1 or something with
Blackpool down here.
Just minutes ticking,
usually through catastrophic defending, which has to be put right.
From what I've heard, I wasn't able to go, unfortunately, last night, but from what I've heard and read, it was... pretty much for 70 minutes we were the better side, and I think we weathered the storm, as it were, towards the end. They had that goal chalked off, didn't
That's
they,
right.
from Kitson. But obviously from the throw-in, which he apparently didn't. Have either of you seen it?
Apparently it was a Halford long throw special, and the referee ruled that nobody had touched it before in a net, and their manager is claiming that it came off Jett's knee.
Is he?
So it would have touched the player before going in, which would have made it a legal goal.
Right.
And he's saying you could see... Jett himself looked visibly distraught that he'd scored an own goal.
Right.
But obviously the ref hadn't seen that at all and chalked it off. So a little bit of that luck that we've been lacking has kind of come back to us. So when you've got a lines person at Birmingham, we've now got a referee at Portsmouth. So I suppose it works both ways.
Yeah, the old adage, the old cliche, they even themselves out over the course of a season. But there probably is some truth in that.
You've got to create your own luck as well.
Yeah.
And, with all the chances and all the effort that was put in last night from the attacking third, at least, there's chances to win 3 or 4 games there.
Exactly, yeah.
But 1-0 is good enough for a win.
No,
yeah,
absolutely.
And I have to admit, I was a bit concerned leading in, obviously, with Sonko cracking his rib or popping his rib on Saturday. I thought Smith and Delaney weren't the best partnership for us in the beginning of the season, were they? So I was concerned.
Smith, Delaney, individually, they're okay.
Yeah.
They generally need that strong person alongside them in the... they can play left centre-half quite well. The two of them together doesn't normally seem to work, but they got the job done last night.
But apparently they were amazing. They played really well last night.
And reports were Damien Delaney was possibly man of the match.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose he's got a lot to prove, hasn't he? He's been in the wilderness, as they say, in football parlance for a while.
But it's still, what do you think moving forward? It's still a problem area, would you
say?
I think we definitely need to get one.
We've got three of them. One of them's out.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're looking at Jack Ainsley, aren't you? Which is not ideal. Is the young player really a right back?
He's more
by trade anyway.
Size and his kind of physicality is more suited to be right back than he is centre.
And his first game was at the Peterborough game, wasn't it?
That's it.
So you have to feel for him after that. So you wouldn't want to put too much pressure on him because he was on the bench last night, wasn't he? Normally, Delaney's our bench defender, isn't he?
Bench warmer.
A
bench warmer.
Yes, exactly.
are you guys thinking that he's going to possibly try and get a loanee in before the end of the week?
Did have a couple of phone calls on Sunday to a couple of different clubs who flatly turned him down straight away and said, no, our players aren't available.
Or shouldn't you let Paul Jewell ring him instead of you?
PJ said that he'd phoned up two clubs about two individuals and both times been told... the individuals are not available because obviously it's only a loan basis now, and I can imagine we're only really
looking
at other championship.
Do you think those individuals might be the trio or two of the trio from Portsmouth that we were chasing so hard?
Possibly, but it's just a hard one, isn't it? I think the other one was McManus from Middlesbrough.
Oh yes, and then Mogga came out, didn't he? And put the dampeners on that one, didn't he?
Yeah.
Exactly, so. Mogger put the mockers on that one.
That's the one.
Oh, yes, yes. That's the joke of the day so far.
That's a good low standard to start from.
Yeah, yeah, right. It can't get much worse, can it? It can only get better from there.
Yeah,
but no, I can't. I'm just amazed, really, with how the season's gone. Obviously, there's been so much negativity, and it's fits and starts, isn't it? We're either really good for sustained periods, then really, really bad. And at the moment, we're in 3 wins in a row. When was the last time we actually won 3 games in a row?
This season.
No, have we done it in any of the last couple of seasons? I don't remember Keane's team having that much momentum at any time.
Right, well, we do have one email here about that one, only because he's on subject, from our man Chris Rand.
Oh, is it Chris Rand? I hoped it might be him. He's the stat.
He is. Well, this isn't... Actually, Chris, if you are listening, you can find out the last time we won 3 in a row, but the last time we won 4 in a row was November 2004.
Really? So under Joe Royal. That would have been, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Thank you for that, Chris. If you can,
7 years and
if you can get
months.
To work on the last 3 in a row one, yeah. Be much obliged.
That's possibly more common, but I'm surprised at 4.
Yeah, 2004.
That's a long, long
time. Our next game's a home game, so although it's going to be a toughie, isn't it? We'll probably come on to that one a bit later on.
And of course, the thing is, we looked on course to be able to beat Middlesbrough, didn't we, on Saturday?
Yes.
This would have been our 4th, of course.
If you're looking at expanding 30 minutes into 90 minutes, then we look very, very good for the win there.
Yeah, hit the bar again yesterday, didn't we?
How many times did the woodwork yesterday?
That's another one. I was going to ask if Chris wants to do that one for us as well. Woodwork.
That's
this
pushing
season.
The boat, yeah.
Have you got a woodwork book there, Chris, woodwork, that you can...
I might start tallying that up for the rest of my life, the number of times we hit the woodwork versus the number of times
but also,
teams
hit it. This is with the Coventry game as well, where we've had Chopra now back at his sharp best.
Yeah.
He's a couple of times he's been in that position to pounce on those ones, goalkeeper or post or deflection, whatever. He's kind of been there to capitalise on
his goal against... I know it was going back a few weeks, you've obviously covered this, but the goal away at Coventry, which is the last time I saw you, wasn't at Coventry. Yeah, that was an absolute... It was just the sort of goal you want him to score, wasn't it?
Well, and the penalty as well, being the first one to...
Yeah, he reacted so well and to have the presence of mind to head it, because it was quite low.
I'm not entirely sure that's a training ground practice. it's that sort of instinct and that's that confidence and there's that spark back again.
And I read a quote from Lee Martin today in the paper saying that he was sort of having a bit of banter with Chopra last night after the game, saying... Why does it, because that's what the strikers do. They're just in he goes, how do you find the ball just comes to you? You're just lucky. And then Chopra's saying, no, it's instinct. And it must be something to do with that.
But it's also that little bit of intelligence to know generally where to be on the pitch, where to be at the right time.
Yeah.
It's nipping in front of players.
It was that last night, came off the woodwork, didn't it? And then he was just there to sweep it.
Well, it was a deflected jet effort that bowled up, then was kind of flipped over to.
Was it Delaney?
It was Delaney or.
It was Murphy, wasn't
Murphy,
it?
Murphy, that's it. Yeah.
Well, big Irish.
You're getting your Irish names.
It was
your
Irish names.
They both got the shaved heads, haven't they? They kind of remind me of each other in a way.
Murphy stuck on a post and Chopra was there just to capitalise, and that's fine. Don't care how they go in. I don't think he cares either.
No.
And talking to Lee Martin, isn't he playing better since he's been switched behind the striker and given a sort of a free role, isn't he?
I think he's been our most important player the last few weeks.
That free role has given that licence, and it is the efforts that he's putting in, your long range effort from Jet as well. Yeah. And you've got Murphy who gives that bit of size and presence up top. It's fantastic. Between the four of them, finally, we've got that real threat back that we haven't, I suppose, had since the Joe Royle days.
No.
Yeah, and you've got that base with Drury and Higham behind that allows them to be a bit more expressive.
Higham man of the match by all accounts.
Yeah,
as well.
That was the Ipswich star, as they now call it, wasn't it?
That's it. And they're not cloggers when they're on the ball either. No, I mean, Higham's probably a little bit more simple on the ball, maybe just a bit shorter passing. But Drury on the ball is very, very comfortable.
Yeah.
But he's got a bit of steel in him that the two sitting there really give protection for the front four to go and do what they want.
And also the amount of work that Martin does as well up there. He doesn't just, he's harrying, chasing, he puts the defenders under so much pressure. I haven't seen one of our front players work that hard for so long.
It has encouraged the likes of Jet, who has, in the first part of the season, looked a little bit languid, a little bit lazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of encouraged him to, you know, just work that a little bit, you know, just track back. You don't need to be able to tackle, you don't need to be able to chase and harry man, but just kind of stick close by him.
So yeah, he's got that presence, he can be a handful, can't he? If he's with you, he's going to create a big sort of obstacle to get round at the very least. So you get
opportunities off that, don't you?
You've got pace in the team as well now, but yeah, not just Martin. I mean, obviously Jet, I'm not sure whether that's pace or just awkwardness, but he gets past players. But Luke Hyam and what's his name in the middle?
Drury
in the middle. They're just snapping at people's heels, which is great. You know, just not letting teams settle, which I think West Ham was a perfect illustration of that.
And if you've got the guys, you know, you've got like Murphy and Jet working that bit harder, you've got the likes of Cresswell and Edwards who can use their pace as well to get forward, that can overlap. And when you are really putting a team under pressure, they can feel they can push up a lot more.
Yeah, because they've got that. Hyam can almost drop back a little bit. The two centre backs can sort of split slightly to the sides, and that just gives you a bit more protection, doesn't it, defensively.
It's more exciting for the fans as well, isn't it? Just to see them bombing forward like that. Great fun.
Well, this is what fans of the game were asking for. So if we can't defend, you know, if we're not going to be the most solid unit at the back, just go out and attack them.
Yeah.
Just do the royal era of scoring more than the opposition.
6-5. Yeah.
No, that's it. But it's miraculous how the way that this recent good run, the last three wins, have come from the same teams that the other good run was against, wasn't it?
Well, that's right. And also, you know, it wasn't just these three teams we've beaten. We played for a good 3-4 games. Played well and didn't get the results.
Yeah.
I mean, for some comedy defending at Leeds, some bad decisions at Birmingham, we play well in those games.
And then Blackpool as well was the 2-2, which is disappointing. That was a decent performance.
That was the first game with the youngsters. They'd seem to tie a bit, and it's Blackpool. Blackpool, a team that have got that attacking presence, can gamble a bit, and got the quality of Taylor Fletcher and Phillips. If they're coming off the bench.
You knew when Kevin Phillips was coming on. The writing was on the wall.
So apart from maybe the Forest game, you know, we've played well over, you know, for quite a while now, for, you know, a good month or so.
And now
the results are coming. And say, with the results we've been getting as well, you know, we haven't suddenly gone into world beaters, which is a good progression. We don't want to suddenly feel confident that we're the best team and kind of, you know, get a little bit too lazy.
Do you think that might have happened before? Because we went on that other run where we were unbeaten in six.
And you start to think you can just turn up.
And then we had that game at home against Crystal Palace, and everyone was like, yeah, we're going to win again, blah, blah, blah. Then I don't know what happened, but they turned us over. I mean, to be honest, I wasn't as I knew Crystal Palace were a dangerous side. Anyway,
but then all confidence is shattered, and it took a long time and some really poor results to kind of turn it around again. And it was just the Barnsley result away, just having the nothing.
But
that's classic
football, isn't it? This is why if you really keep your eye on the ball, you should be able to make money this way, because Barnsley had been on a run, hadn't they?
Yes.
Ipswich had been on an appalling run, and then you think, put your money on that one to turn upside down, and it did.
Exactly.
I didn't put any money on this, sadly.
You know, that was a turning point, because from that result onwards, we've only really had the odd 20 minutes or half a game spell where we've not played so well. Majority, we've played a lot better since then.
We'll probably guarantee that we'll go on this little run, and then we'll get someone, I don't know, who we haven't played at the bottom yet at home. Yeah. Coventry, have we played them? Yeah, we have.
Yeah,
we'll play one of the bottom teams. We're on this fantastic run, and we'll go and lose then, won't we?
Yeah,
we probably won't lose at home to Cardiff, because they're playing well. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's football.
Well, we have got our last two games at Doncaster Millwall, or Millwall Doncaster.
Yeah, probably lose them too. Outside the playoffs.
Sniffing distance of the top half.
Do you want to say something, Jez?
Yeah, I mean, what are you thinking about? Because after the Leeds game, I know we'd been playing a bit better for a few games, but I was really, really concerned about the R word, the dreaded R word after that.
Yeah,
do you think those fears are completely dispelled now?
I was concerned about it, because it was being up for the fight, having a stomach for it, not being a perennial, although we've been perennially mediocre's been fine.
Yeah.
We've not perennially been there.
Perennial can be our word of the day.
Come the end of the season,
beats mockers.
When you only need that 1 point to be safe, and you've got a couple of games left, and
you wouldn't fancy Doncaster Millwall, would you?
I wouldn't fancy us being in that fight where the other teams have virtually got nothing to lose, and we've got everything to lose.
Yeah.
Normally, even though we've been rubbish the last few years, and we've been average at best, or you know, whichever way you want to look at it positively, we haven't been good enough. No. We've always been safe with the four games left. We've never been in that real dogfight.
It's looked a bit iffy January.
So
I was
Coventry was a big result for us, and the way we stole it as well. You know, I will say stole it, because it could have been either team.
They looked the more likely, didn't they, over the last 10 minutes?
Then I felt, I think we might just have enough distance. We might just put that last night's result has really, you know, it's us to throw away the position we're in now.
What, we're 11 points clear of third bottom?
We're now 12 points clear.
Oh, is it 12?
It's 12 points clear. And also,
we're 37 and they're 26, aren't they, Forest? Or is it?
Well, it's 25 because Portsmouth can drop now as well, can't they, with their 10 points?
Yes, so yeah, because they'll get those 10 taken off soon, won't they?
I think we're something like 12 points ahead of third from bottom and, dare I say it, 14 behind the P word. So.
Yeah, I did actually. I got ahead of myself this morning and I looked up the table to sixth, which is probably a bit of a stupid thing to do. Yeah, exactly. Because the first time I've been doing is looking downwards for so long.
Yeah, I wasn't even aware who was in the top six or who was fighting to be in there, to be honest. So I knew the top two had been majority of the season, and that's all I've known about that end of the table. Not really been that concerned with it. But
no, that's it. There was after that, when we were on that run of six unbeaten, sort of October, sort of September, October time, I was kind of this is, here we go, playoff charge.
What it was that Palace game, if we'd won, we would have gone second.
Oh, it was that, yeah.
And we lost it, and then...
And then that was the first seven in a row.
We'd rather be second from bottom instead.
Yeah.
Right, another email here to dampen your jollity. I listen to the show every week from sunny Newcastle. I wait for it in New South Wales.
Yes.
Well, it's from Chris Rose. Chris Rose in Oz, and he's glad. He says, I'm 13,000 miles away from the rubbish, bar two recent performances, three now, Chris, that's being served up at Portman Road as of late. Seriously, low. I, like the rest of the town fans around the world, hold my head in shame as to what's become of our once proud team. I honestly believe Jewell was the man to take us from this pitiful keen era, but sadly it seems we've hit the snooze button and are continuing on with this delirium-spiked nightmare. Cheer up, guys, it gets worse. It seems obvious to state, but it seems that this has all come about since Marcus Evans and his money has come to town. I never really thought that Ipswich suited an Abramovich or a Far Eastern sugar daddy. We just don't do borscht or cuttlefish curry on the streets of Ipswich. There's a catering idea for you guys.
Yeah.
I know someone who's going to try and do that. I can't help thinking that Ipswich has always prided itself on being a local team, for local people. And it's on this basis that we've had our greatest success over the years. Do the panel agree that we should hark back to the cobbled Sheepshank era of local landed gentry running the club the proper way, in quotes, or is the only way to survive in the modern football world to have a wealthy benefactor calling the corporate tune? He finishes, which is possibly a good dig at me, keep up the good work. P.S. Jordan Rose, 27 goals this season already. Think he could have done a job for us? Thank you for that, Chris.
Oh, it's a utopian idea, isn't it?
I think I definitely see where he... And I do agree with that sentiment about...
We would all love that.
The traditions
I'd agree,
club.
Yeah, I think we all do.
I'm just thinking back to... We don't know where would we be now if Marcus Evans hadn't have come in, though? Because we had gone into administration.
We would already be in League One.
Yeah.
Struggling mid-table there, at best. People say...
Do you think there was any chance we'd have gone out of business?
No, same way that no club, unless it drops right out the league structure, when actually gets forgotten about and nobody cares.
Yeah, and we've got too many fans for that to happen, really.
You would think so, that there'd be one way of reinventing the club. I mean, it's happened with Crystal Palace, and Portsmouth have managed to stave off going out of business completely a few times now. And there's plenty of other clubs as well that have survived. The likes of Leeds, who are a massive club, they survived going down to League One. They stayed there for 3 years as well. But now they're building their way back. And it would be the same thing for us.
Yeah.
But it's also unfortunate. It is a reality of modern day football that to stay and maintain at least the level that we're at, you do need investment.
But had we been sort of kicked into the netherworld of football and had to... claw our way back, we probably would have done it the Ipswich way. We'd have had to bring kids through. We'd have had to bring kids through instead of... Now, Marcus Evans sort of rescued the club one could say rescued the club, but in another way, he gave carte blanche to just buy big players and...
Yeah, and like it has Roy removed... Key. I read a good article someone had written. It was... is in the... What's it called? That football... When Saturday Comes.
Yes.
An article someone had written... it might have been even Gav from TWTD, I don't know, but it was all about that, basically, the culture of the club and how that had changed, and basically, is that to blame for where we are now, or is it wider things? I mean, it's such a big, big issue to consider.
Shane Supple was
quoted
on that as well when he was asked about, and he said, when from the Marcus Evans regime coming in, the whole culture and the whole nature of the club and up at the training ground and the focus on the youth in the academy all changed, and he didn't like it at all. And that wasn't the main reason why he got out of professional football. It was greedy players and their attitudes, and they're not doing it for the love of why you would want to do the sport, that he's kind of lost he fell out of love with football himself, but he has been quoted as saying that the feel around the club has changed.
Yeah, I'm sure it has, yeah. Football in general has changed, though, hasn't it?
That's it. I mean, but then we're saying about Coventry.
A good person to speak to regarding that, not that we will, is Richard Wright, though, isn't it? Because he's very few players have got more of the continual experience of Ipswich Town over the last
absolutely, season. Yeah,
Richard
Wright
would have, well, he would have been through it all. He would have been, he was Premiership days first time round when it relegated, when it was really, really poor, and David and Streepshanks, George Burley came in and changed the club around. I mean, although he would have seen it as a youngster, but he would have seen that. Then
I remember seeing his debut, I think 1990.
It's Coventry, wasn't it?
Yeah, Coventry. I was going to say, you're on the money. 96, would that have been, or is that too late? Is that too... I don't know. Side issue anyway. But
and he would have seen us, you know, the gradual building of a team, bringing the youth through that Burley and David Streepshanks instigated, took us through to Wembley, then that first season, and then how the money from the Premiership ruined Burley. Burley being given money, the fans baying for this money that we're saying these mega riches that we have to be spent. And
go and get Serena and Andy George.
That's it, and not spent maybe in the right places where it didn't quite work.
And the sad thing is, of course,
and then obviously having to leave the club, you know, leave the club himself because of it, you know, to further his career rather than staying with his hometown club, who should have feasibly been able to stay with.
And we're having a big, pardon me, we're having a big lesson from those up the road as to how to do it properly like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, Chris, that thanks for that question because it's started a big debate. But in answer to your very last sentence, would Jordan Rose have done the job for us? Yes, he would. That's just me. And if anyone disagrees, I'm switching your mics down.
Is that why you've got JR tattooed on your cheeks now?
Yeah. On all my cheeks. Yeah. I hasten to it. Right, this ticket thing. On Saturday.
Yes, we can't let this one go. Oh, my God.
I know. My brother came down from Beverley and with his daughter, that's my niece, 13-year-old. And obviously, they're not going to get their money back. They can't obviously come down on a Tuesday night. What think you guys? That's just me. Obviously, we're talking about a lot of people that can't make the Tuesday for obvious reasons, apart from it's a school day and they live distance now. They're not going to get their money back. They've seen 30-odd minutes of a game.
We've got a good panel here, because so, I've been having to jump on this on the day job this week.
I'll play devil's advocate for a little bit. It's not a situation we've had before because of Sir Alan Ferguson and his brilliant pitch and his brilliant staff, and the fact that we had minus 13 temperatures overnight before a football match, and then still minus 6, minus 8 at kickoff time. Mm. I don't think we've experienced that, and I think that's beyond any kind of...
You can't really plan for
you
that.
You can't plan for that.
Yeah.
And from that point of view, it does fall a lot on the referee that he should have known better that, okay, it was fine when the covers came off, but given 3 hours later, we'd still... we'd just be finishing a football match in those 3 hours at minus 6, minus 8. The ground is more than likely not going to be playable. Mm. So a lot lies on that. And the fact that we haven't had this situation before, the actual the actual kind of terms and conditions that have been quoted, which are printed on the back of people's tickets, etc., they've been in there a long time. They've come in when all the clubs have agreed to a certain customer charter, mainly Premiership clubs, you know, to have a certain code of conduct and a certain way of doing things. And if you look around all the other clubs, which I had a little look around, majority of them are actually the same terms that if before it actually kicks off the match, if you know, then you'll get the match another time for the same ticket, for no extra cost other than your own personal expenses. Right. And you can also have a refund because the club's terms are, if it hasn't kicked off, you can get a refund on your ticket.
Yeah.
So the match hasn't existed, so your ticket is valid for when the match does actually take place.
Yeah.
If it's actually kicked off, and I say this is the same in most clubs, it's 50% of the replay ticket you're offered. Now, the problem with modern day is 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it was after the match is actually abandoned, you've got somebody off the radio with a microphone right in Simon Clegg's face. Simon Clegg's got to come up with an answer, and his answer is, we have a contingency for this. It's terms and conditions that are on the ticket, and it's been in place for years.
Yeah.
50% off, no refunds. All the fans go mental, probably quite in their right mind to do so, because the match shouldn't have been played, so there is some culpability, and it would be a very nice gesture for the club to say, well, no, we're going to ignore that rule.
I can sort of see the one... Obviously, I can see why they're not going to give you refunds on it, but then on the other side of the coin, there is maybe, if you own a match ticket for that Middlesbrough game, that's valid for the next time. That's sort of...
But I've twice been to a cinema, to a film, in Ipswich, once the Film Theatre and once the big monstrosity down the road, and twice for different reasons, I think. One was a projector thing, another one the fire alarm went off in the middle of the film, so you had to leave. And at each one they gave you a free pass to the next screening of your choice.
I think
the second film I was like 15 minutes from the end of the film, so they didn't say, well, you've watched most of the film, therefore we're not going to give you anything.
I understand, and I think that's what all the fans, the
and obviously Middlesbrough have pretty much usurped Peggy by giving them the whole work
above and beyond, haven't they? What they've offered is whatever the shortfall is, so whatever it will cost for their fans to rebuy their ticket for the rearranged game, so not the new fans. And again, what Ipswich have done does not apply to any new fans that want to come on game.
Yes.
The rearrange.
It's only the guys
that have already bought a ticket. They've said they'll make up the shortfall. So if it costs them £5 a ticket or £50 a ticket, which, you know, obviously...
It won't be, whatever it is.
And also, they were looking into, and I don't know if they've actually announced it or not, but they were looking into laying on the transport for those people the tickets as well. It's brilliant gesture from Middlesbrough. It's 700 fans.
This is the thing, so it's 700 versus 19,000 or whatever.
It's not 19,000, is it? Because 15 would have been season tickets.
Most of them are season tickets. It'll be around 4,000 fans. 4,000. From Ipswich's point of view. It's just dumb luck for the regime, for Simon Clegg and Marcus Evans, that it came on the back of a game that was for the fans.
On average,
25% reduced tickets. You know, come on, back your team. You know, these are cheaper prices. Let's have a look at see how well that does. If that goes really, really well, then we'll see if that's a policy they can take forward. And I think that was the idea of the match. And of course, it's just dumb luck that it would be that match of all that gets called.
Do you not think they've lost the goodwill of a lot of fans in the long term? They might have been losing money in the short term.
Would I be nasty in calling fans a little bit cynical and a little bit the fact that if we went...
I'm going to switch your mic down in a minute
if we carry on to win the rest of this, you know, to do well the rest of this season, and then next season we have a great year where we reach the playoffs, or, you know,
it's
even
promotion,
saying it'll be one of those things that we'd probably forgotten about.
Until it rears
its head in, and, you know, what would last
it,
year
if
was
they're
down,
only charging £5 and £10 per tickets anyway,
I think...
They can't be making that much back on because the argument is obviously they pay the staff that work there, the catering, the ground, you know, everything that goes into a match day. From a PR point of view, it'd be fantastic if they just said, okay, if you had, you know, we'll take the hit. If you had a ticket that was bought for the Middlesbrough game, you can come next time. That's sort of a halfway ground, I think.
I think it would be, and to say that no refunds would then cover the club's costs.
Yeah, and I think if you're going to charge £5, £7.50, surely that's not much anyway. Would it hurt to just eliminate that? It's difficult, isn't it?
It really is difficult, because the one thing I can see with this, which is difficult, and which is, I think Simon Clegg was quoted in the paper when he responded to the fans' criticisms, was this isn't a precedent. And I think the club have got to be careful in some ways that every little issue, every little kind of thing that comes up, which sometimes are out of the club's control, sometimes are just standard things that all football clubs do, that they don't back down, they don't climb down on issue.
Was Pete Wingham and MK Dons had it, didn't
they? Or accept everything that the fans ask for, because then suddenly the fans are actually possibly doing damage to their own club, because the club has to operate.
Right, guys, quickly, we've got to quickly just a prediction for Saturday. Can you just please say we'll lose, because we're doing well by saying that?
Yeah, we're definitely going to lose, because we never beat Cardiff.
Defeat, heavy defeat.
Yeah,
6-0. 6-0, heavy defeats all round. That's brilliant. Thanks to Jeremy, of course. Thanks to David. Till next week, have a good one, everybody. Bye.